recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
All right, let's get this thing rocking and rolling. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We got a very special evening. The one and only Mr. JR, Jim Ross, is with us tonight for his very special JR's Grilling JR Q&A. How are you, Mr. Ross?
I'm good, buddy. JR to you. And I apologize, but, you know, this computer shit is way above my pay grade. So I want a link that I can click on, and here we are. But we don't have that. We got to go to the Zoom. I don't use Zoom anymore. So, but I'm glad I'm here. Let's get rolling. I've made these folks wait long enough, and I apologize, but I just don't have the computer expertise to fix my issues.
And as IT guys, Dave Silva, guys, so y'all got to deal with that. You got to bear with him.
I'm trying to be patient.
All right, everybody, if you've got a question, you know the deal. Stay on mute if you are not in the spotlight with us. And if you've got a question, go ahead and put that in the chat, and we will get to as many people as possible. And we're going to start with Mr. Paul Millett, who got to hang out with us and join the family. And he is going to be our first question of the night. Paul.
There he is.
JR. So I have been rewatching Mid-South on the Peacock, being a Mid-South original, including stuff I don't remember from being a kid back in 81. So I kind of got a little bit of a two-parter for you. I feel like I remember on the episode of Mid-South, the second one, because I noticed this, that there was a change in storytelling. Like, you started having before and after interviews, which I felt did a lot for the storytelling that didn't exist before that. Was that you who did that?
Well, as Cowboy, wanted suggestions to change things to make it more understandable and easier to follow. So it was between Cowboy and I, we came up with that idea to do a better job at storytelling.
Let's see who else has got a question. Brad Stanton, you are up, brother.
Hey there, how's it going? I'm in the car, so you can't see me.
It's all right.
Jim, how's it going, man?
Okay, buddy.
Hey, I was rewatching WrestleMania 23 recently, and that was the one where the Money in the Bank, and you guys had a brand split at the time, and you had six announcers. I was just wondering what you thought of that and how much planning had to go into that when you had three different booths going on.
Well, it was a cluster. It was a train wreck. Everybody wanted to get their stuff in. And so it was very awkward, to be honest with you. We did the best we could. You know, you try not to walk on your partners or walk on your guests or whatever it may be. But it was uncomfortable for everybody because, you know, how long's your match? I don't know how much TV time. Like, do I have it on camera? For God's sakes, you're killing me. So it was not a great experience, to be honest with you. I thought the show was pretty good. But the experience of trying to balance the six guys was a little bit insane.
Well, I'll tell you this. I thought you guys did really good, though. You guys didn't talk over each other at all. So good job.
We tried. It wasn't easy.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Ross. Have a good one.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for calling in on us.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate you hanging out with us, brother. All right, let's get to another one. Dylan Lehigh is here. Dylan.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Dylan. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good.
What's on your mind?
Well, first off, I just want to say this is a dream come true to be able to talk to you. You know, you're the voice of my childhood.
Oh, thank you.
The reason I really got into wrestling. Well, I know that you used to listen to Cardinal Baseball and KMOX. I'm from the St. Louis area, and I just want to know if you kind of got any inspiration from Jack Buck or, you know, guys like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I drew from a lot of mainstream sports guys, and Jack Buck was included in that group. It's all about storytelling. Whether you're describing a baseball game and a clear, star-studded night in St. Louis or whatever, you're compelled to tell a good story so that everybody understands what's going on. So, yeah, Jack Buck was all those old baseball guys were great influences. If a young announcer's listening, anytime you can listen to a radio play-by-play of baseball, you're probably going to get ahead of the game at some point because those guys are just great storytellers. And then radio is the theater of the mind. So, yeah, Jack Buck was a great input. So was Harry Carey.
Awesome.
And, you know, those guys are big time. And that I lived in northeastern Oklahoma, so St. Louis, the KMOX, you know, roared into there. So I had a little transistor radio, and every night that the Cardinals played, I generally was on the listen. So good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, sir. I look forward to hearing you on every Saturday night.
I appreciate that. Thanks for watching.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate you getting in. JR, I thought it was fascinating. You mentioned at StarCast that you were pulling from bowling announcers as well.
Oh yeah, I Chris Schenkel. Chris Schenkel was a great storyteller, and you know, I first discovered Chris Schenkel as a football guy, and then I discovered that he also did bowling. And it's not a matter of the sport; it's a matter of how the sport is presented. And Chris Schenkel was just a real pro's pro, whether he was doing college football or doing a bowling for that matter. He was a storyteller, and that's what we're all supposed to be trying to do in wrestling today, is tell stories and engage the audience. Don't talk over their head. Be respectful, informative, and show that you give a shit. And I've always tried to do that.
I think that came through for all of us. Art, you are up next, brother, in the spotlight with JR.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Cassio. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thanks, Art.
Thanks, Art.
So I've got a question, and this is, I'll preface it by saying I'm not a AEW fan, but it's one I'd like your opinion on, because I think it would be something that it would get someone like me to sit up and take notice.
What is it, Artie? The chase, baby.
What if Tony ever came to you and said, I'm going to run the one place in Chicago that Vince will never go? I want to run Soldier Field. What would your opinion be?
I'd probably try to talk him out of it. Stadiums are risky. You know, we had great success in London at Wembley, obviously. A great accomplishment for the Khan family and for all the talents and the workers that work at the AEW. But it's a gamble anytime you go outdoors, because Mother Nature doesn't do any jobs. And if she wants to rain, it rains or whatever. So you just got to be careful what time of the year it is. You don't want to get out there where it's too cold or the rainy season, all those type things. So, you know, I did XFL football in Soldier Field. I considered it a great honor because I was always a Dick Butkus fan and a Chicago Bear fan as a kid, because Butkus was an animal. And all of us that played high school football wanted to be an animal. At least if we weren't playing. So that's how I look at it, Art. It's not a bad idea. It's just that you got to be very strategic in running outdoors. But interesting idea, though. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your time.
You bet.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate you, brother. Coach Keith Morrison, you're up next, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Cassio, I haven't talked to you in a long time. What's going on?
Good to see you, my man.
And Mr. JR. Good evening. It's always a pleasure talking to you, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Quick question. I know you get probably getting tired answering this question, but I want the real answer from somebody who's close to the situation, and that's the JYD story. Now, on Dark Side in the Ring, they had a situation where they said, why did JYD left Mid-South? And one person said, because he heard Bill Watts, while JYD was in the bathroom, he heard Bill Watts talk about certain things that he didn't like. And that was one of the reasons why he left.
Yeah. Can
you clarify that story for me, please? Because you're probably one of the most closest people to the situation.
I'll tell you this. The answer is, and honestly, I try to be honest in all these shows, was that Dog left for more money. He saw the opportunity to increase his income, you know, I don't want to say tenfold, but it was way up there. And, you know, his right out of the gate, when you can become the first African-American action figure, things like that accumulate in income. And Dog had worked hard, and you know, he was kind of sparring with the devil on this drug use. So he made some bad decisions. He left without notice. And it wasn't because of a racial epithet said or some bullshit like that. He simply had the opportunity to come go be the number two or three baby face in the biggest company in the business. And that was going to mean he was going to make a whole hell of a lot more money. And, you know, he had six figure royalty checks for his action figures and things like that. So I'll always say that Cowboy loved Dog, and they were like family. They really were. And Bill defended Dog to all the NWA white guys that wanted, said Bill had too many blacks on the team. He had a black Booker and Ernie Ladd, and he had a black top baby face and JYD, and Bill defended them. They kept their jobs. They were making great money, but they weren't going to make the kind of money that, that Vince could pay them, because Vince had a real elaborate early on royalty system. You made money on your merchandise. And that was very attractive to a lot of guys. And I don't blame them. I do blame Dog for not giving notes. I thought that was Bush League, especially when he came there from Calgary. He didn't have two dimes to rub together, and Cowboy made him a lot of money. So, and I love Sylvester. He was funny. He was a good guy to be around, but he left because he had a chance to increase his income. Dog made enough money on his transition that he wouldn't need to work that many more years, but he, most of it, a lot of it went up his nose, and boy, that's an expensive habit to have. So I loved him. And I miss him. He's gone now, of course. But that was the deal. That's the honest truth as I know it. He left because he could go increase his income, more than double his income. And he was smart enough to know that his job was tentative at best, because you get hurt, you get older, gain weight, all these things. So that's my story, big fella, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I hate when people bring up race cards in certain situations. And that was one of them.
It's a more sensational story,
yes.
Coach. It is, and it might get a blip on the Twitter machine, a little headline. You know, real reason Dog left Mid-South was Cowboy's racial attitude. And, you know, I sat in Bill's office and heard him defend all the African-Americans that worked for Mid-South. I've heard it in my own ears. And it was just simply a matter of Dog had a chance to go to the big time, go to New York City, blah, 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 and he did. And he made a lot of money, but he didn't leave New York with all of it.
Well, thank you for answering that. I appreciate it. And thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate that, man.
Thanks for checking us out. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach Keith. Always good to see you, brother. All right, let's keep it rolling. We got another back-to-back coaches. Coach Rosie, you are up next with JR.
Yep. Hey, what's going on, fellas? JR, with half a century in the wrestling business, how has leadership changed? I mean, leadership tactics, leadership methods, good leadership. What still works today in 2023? And what are some things in leadership that you might not have used in the 70s or 80s?
Always tell the truth, whether it's pissing somebody off or not. Don't make up a story just for the sake of somebody putting a smile on their face. I've told some of the biggest stars in wrestling the honest truth, and they were pissed at times, but I talked to them now, and they said, well, I'm glad you told me that. I'm glad you said this. I'm glad you did this. If you tell the truth all the time, then you never get caught in a lie. And the worst thing you can do to lose confidence in a team or a player or an employee is to lie to them. It's just not going to work. There's no good formula coming out of that deal. So I think that the other thing is you've got a lot of guys that are more formally educated nowadays. They're smart. And I think that some of them aren't as street smart as they think they are, because they're young and they're making a whole lot of money. And like the old expression, Coach, you know, the guy woke up on third base, thought he hit a triple. That's kind of what I'm thinking here. You know, be realistic, you know, be real. So I think being real is important, and being honest is even more important. And to me, that's sum up the bottom line of business or life in general. You get in the habit of telling the truth, it makes your whole life a lot more simplistic.
Thanks for the wisdom, JR. Have a good night.
Thanks, Coach. Good looking shirt too, brother. All right, we got Amy V is up next. Amy, you're up next with good old JR.
Hello, how are we tonight?
Good, Amy. Wonderful. Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us.
Well, how could I not? Cassio, as always, good to see you. Mr. Ross, I think I could speak for everyone when I say we're so glad to hear your news about being cancer free.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that that's one of those things that is such a huge relief. And we're very happy to know that you've been healed. I just wanted to know, have you had a chance to go back to your home in Oklahoma?
I'm here now.
Oh, you're fact. There now. Oh, good.
Yeah, the my building in Jacksonville Beach was built in 82. And they decided it was time to replace all the windows and doors. So when that happened, they politely mentioned that many of us should leave, move. A lot of them had to get hotel rooms. I have a home here in Oklahoma, in Norman, where the University of Oklahoma Sooners reside.
Are you a fan of the Sooners? I'm just kidding. I know you are.
Yeah, a little bit. Not sure.
Maybe a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry.
One size fits all. It's like a sheet. I'm working out of Oklahoma, flying out of Oklahoma, and it's not easy flying these days. It's horrible. I left Friday morning at 6 o'clock to go to Cleveland, and make a long story short and a miserable story tolerable, I got home Monday afternoon.
Mm.
Terrible. Terrible. Flying is not good right now. It's the worst it's ever been since I've been in the business, and that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the salvation of all that, the golden goose is that I get to be here in Oklahoma. I'm missing all my football games because I'm doing Collision on TNT on Saturday nights. But you know, I'd rather go do wrestling and get paid. And Tony Khan takes very good care of old JR, and I sincerely appreciate that. So I'm based out of Oklahoma right now. So I hope to get back to my place on the beach in a couple of 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that'll be nice. Cool weather, I bet so. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it, as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Amy. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you, Cassio.
Ryan Purvis, you are up next, sir.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good. Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Good. Well, Mr. Ross, I just want to say I think that the best football game I've ever seen is Georgia versus Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. I'm a Georgia fan. I'm going to say that. But
I didn't think it was a goddamn great, pal. But I understand your fandom, and I respect it and appreciate it.
All right. Well, Jim, I'm from Savannah, Georgia. Here, you called a Clash of Champions 17 here. This would be the one that Steamboat returned. Had the dragon mask and everything, came out, and there was a tag team match: Steamboat and Dustin Rose versus Zabisco and Arn Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Arn had indicated that he did not talk to nor meet Ricky Steamboat at any point before that match. He met him in the ring. Does that really shock you?
Well, it didn't back then. It would today, because these kids today seem like they have to have meetings to discuss a 5-minute match. And they're never going to learn their skill if they aren't able to improvise. Great talents, whether it be comedians or whatever, they're willing to take a chance and go down a different route if they're getting laughs, to say. And so a lot of the old timers just refuse to discuss their match. And they knew what the beginning, the middle, and the end kind of was, but that's about it, man. That's about it. They were just very hell bent on that. They believed in the art of improvisation. And Arn was one of those guys. He had a feel. If you got a natural feel and confidence of what you're doing, you don't need to memorize your moves. And I'm not big on the memorization. What if something you planned on doing isn't working? How do you start back over? Do you go back to the beginning? You need to fast forward to the end. I don't know what the answer to that question may be. But anyway, I'm sure Arn was telling you. If Arn Anderson told you something, he was telling you the truth. He's not a bullshitter. One of the best talents I've ever seen.
I mean, it just shot to the extent that that is the best tag team match I've ever seen.
Well, good. Good to hear that.
It was just called in the ring.
Yeah. Well, hey, when I first started, they were all called in the ring. They didn't have, because the talents weren't dressing together. Think about that. They were dressing in separate dressing rooms. The good guys were in one locker room and the bad guys are in another. So none of those matches are thoroughly discussed, but okay, you do this, I'll do that, and you take a breath, you know, and then you sell, and you know, come on. It's not necessary, is my point. And so anyway, things have changed.
Yeah, Jim,
a lot of the younger guys don't have the confidence in their work to go out and do the audibles and do it, you know, do it that way.
Jim, I have one quick story to tell you. It's kind of funny. First of all, I do buy your seasonings and barbecue sauce. Great, by the way.
Thank you.
So I had actually used the Shopify app to buy stuff on that, and I had done a pre-order with one of my buddies just to mess with him on some of his products, and I used a fake name for shipping on it, and the fake name that I used is Dick Gazenia, and he knew it was me, so it was all just a joke, and so I failed to realize that whenever you save that name to Shopify and you buy something else without changing it, I basically made a purchase on your website with Dick Gazenia, and I don't know if it was somebody at perhaps your shop or it could have been my postman, I'm not sure. Somebody apparently took that label and right next to Dick Gazenia wrote "nice" in big letters as it was delivered to my door. So great product. I appreciate
it. Use your real name, buddy. Don't try to get cute and order goddamn barbecue sauce. Jesus Christ. Come on, work with me.
I didn't mean to.
All right, thanks for calling, Ryan. Thanks for being with us.
Great story, Ryan. Thanks, buddy. Let's keep it going. Bryant, you are in the spotlight, sir. Bryant Haremza.
Thank you, Cassio. Thank you, JR, for doing this tonight. Appreciate your time. I got to ask a college football question. With the Pac-12 basically dissolving before the season started, do you see college football moving to like a system where there's like only four major conferences, or with the playoff expanding, do you just see conferences maybe going away altogether?
Well, I don't think the conferences will go away altogether, but I think that we're all of us college football fans, and Ocasio is one as well, that, you know, we're in for a lot of changes.
Yes.
I suggest follow the money. Where the money takes these conferences is where it's going to go. And I don't know what that means other than there's going to be changes. And big money talks. You know, like the SEC right now seems to be bulletproof. My Sooners and the Longhorns, the Steers, you know, Steer don't have any balls.
I did not know that.
Really? Yeah, did not know that.
That's in from the press. They lost their balls in an accident, but they did beat Alabama. I'm shocked to see that one. So I think football's in for a lot of changes. I think it's all going to be predicated on the cash.
Nope, I can see that. And especially with as many teams as already moving for the cash already, with basically why the Pac-12 dissolved because of the TV rights. And I just always kind of see that as the future of how everything's going. So, but
Time will tell, my friend. Time will tell, Brian.
Oh, absolutely. So, but again, wanted to thank you for your time tonight. Thank you guys for getting me on.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you joining us, man. Brian F., you're up next. You're in the spotlight with Mr. JR, brother.
Good evening, JR.
Hello, Brian. Brian, you got the eyes of an axe murderer.
Well, it's the lighting. It's the lighting.
Oh, the lighting. All right.
Yeah.
It's... You're like a dangerous human being. I'll somehow at the top 10 list or the most wanted list. One of the two.
I love it.
Anyway, what's your question, pal?
I have a question and a comment. My comment is that you, with your relationship with Bill Watts, needs to engage him with Conrad for the behind-the-scenes sit-down interview that people like Jerry Jarrett and other wrestling great promoters have done. So I don't know if you can convince him to do it. I'm sure Conrad's working on it, but he really needs to get his story out there so things like that Coach Keith brought up can all be just like taken care of.
Yeah, I read 100 pages of my newest book today, and I got to finish it before I leave town this Friday to go to State College, PA. And I'm in a lot of that. And the reason I bring that up is there's a lot of cowboy stories in there, philosophies. How he wanted to be presented and how he wanted our brand to be built. So, and I learned most of the stuff that I do in wrestling from Cowboy. He didn't overcomplicate things. He kept it simple. And bad guy, good guy, and a lot of violence. People can relate more to a fight, in my opinion, than they can to a Hurricane Rana. Most people can relate to a fight. They sit on the school ground, they sit at a ball game, they sit at Walmart, wherever it may be. They can relate to a fight. They might not relate so much to a Hurricane Rana or a Tope El Suicida. I realized going to AEW, I need to learn how to speak Spanish.
Hey.
I gotta expand my game.
That's great. That's great, JR. I just wanted to see if you could push
I think Conrad has made some inroads to that project.
Sure, Bill, that Conrad's not going to try to gotcha him. He's just going to try to lay out the history as it was.
Yeah, you have to talk to Connie about that. He does these Q&As all the time. Ask him.
All right. Your question is with Hacksaw having his health issue lately,
if he went
to the NWA versus WWF, would you have cast him more if you had control into like a rugged Ronnie Garvin type of role there? And do you think he would have had a...
He fit better as a Bruiser Brody type guy.
Right, like as a badass versus...
He's a brawler.
Yeah.
He wasn't scientific, nothing but him scientific. The Hack was a great addition to our team in Mid-South. He got over like $1 million because he had those two big old hams on the end of his arms. He just beat the shit out of people. Real simple. So, and I know he's feeling better. He had a little health scare again. God bless him. Think about him when you can. And he's out of the hospital. He's back home. So, and we love old Hack. He ain't changing. His personality hasn't changed in forever. He's just a real good guy, good man. And Deborah, his wife, no friend as well. So I wish him nothing but the best.
Thank you so much for your time, JR. We love you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Randy, you are up next. You're in the spotlight with JR.
Hello, guys. So to go back to London and Wembley, what were some of the differences between going to London with AEW compared to the times you went before with WWE?
Nothing. Travel was handled very well. The hotel was first class and it was across the street from the stadium. I left the hotel twice, once to go to the stadium and once to go to dinner on Friday night. This was catty corner across the street. The fans have this amazing ability to find out where we're staying. And they tell everybody they know. They surround the building for all night, literally all night. And I understand their passion and I appreciate it and I love them for it, but it makes it very challenging to get outside because when you go outside, everybody wants a selfie or sign something. I have no trouble doing either, but you can't do them all. So, but the AEW group took good care of us. You know, we had a very good hotel and great flights. You know, you can get there nonstop. I spent more time in the air trying to get from Oklahoma City to friggin' Cleveland than I did flying from Oklahoma City to London. It's crazy. So, but it's good. It's a successful trip. I enjoyed it. And like I said, the flights were good, which is different. It ain't that way right now for domestic flights, but it was good. I'm glad I got to go. I'm glad I was booked. Old timers even like to be booked.
Well, I think I speak for all of us. We'll always love to see you no matter where it is. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You're a fine girl.
Thank you. My mom did name me after that song.
I'm sure you heard that enough. But thank you for calling in.
Look at all that sunlight in Alaska, right?
Yes, it is only just about 5 o'clock here. So
there you go.
Plenty of light still.
Thanks, Brandy.
Thanks, Brandy.
All right. We had a couple guys before we get to a couple more that wanted to send one in. They couldn't jump on their cameras. While I find those, let's get little Jimmy Sorensen. You are in, brother.
Howdy ho. Got it. Sorry, I just got sat down in some applesauce.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll wait on you. Go ahead and eat your dinner if you want to. We'll just.
All right, I found the ones. You eat your applesauce. Hang on. Bobby KF5 GTX wants to know, JR, what's your thoughts on Endeavor now owning WWE, and where do you think it might go from here?
Somebody's going to be making a lot of money. It's a great company. They got their act together. I mean, you know, they got two of the hottest properties in all of entertainment, the USC and WWE. So unless somebody fumbles the ball in the red zone, I got to believe it's going to be a great success for everybody involved, and especially the talents are going to probably be making more money than they're even making now. And if that happens, I'll be very happy for them. So it's a good move for WWE. It's hard to comprehend that a McMahon is not in charge.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is. So I just went through reading that. I was reading the manuscript of this book, Business is About to Pick Up is going to be the name of that book. And I wrote about everything. But it's been a very fast read. I read 100 pages and seemingly no time at all. So it's all good.
Good stuff. Another Richie Ray wants to chime in. He said, ask JR, have you ever seen and or called a match with somebody wrestling a bear?
Oh, back in the old days, this is going to sound bad, but, you know, you had special attractions. The little people, mm-hmm. the women, and the wrestling bear. They come around about once a year, maybe twice, and generally around a holiday. So I've called a lot of those, yeah. It's more of a sideshow. It's more of a special attraction. It's not something you're going to get mixed up with a real serious match. You know, I remember doing a 60-minute Broadway draw with Harley Race and Dory Funk Jr. And I never heard them call one spot. Somebody referred back to getting together and talking them through a match and all that. I didn't hear them say one thing to each other. You know, wow. It was art. It was really art. And, so yeah, almost 50 years in this crazy thing. I've called about everything you could think of, but generally it's once a year, twice max, that those attractions would come through a territory.
All right, little Jimmy Sorensen, are you done eating your applesauce?
Yes, sir.
Brother, yes, what Papa. You got?
So I was. Got my Duke whiskey here. Go Duke. But what was it like calling that first SmackDown after 9/11?
Well, emotional, hard to focus. you know, people crying all around you because of the sadness in the air and the tragedy that had just occurred. I remember that week very, very vividly. And we just hope that we did it right. Paul Heyman and I worked that show together. Paul was out there because, one, he's very, very good. He's brilliant, still is. And he just had a birthday. So happy belated birthday to Paul Heyman. So those of you that are listening, send him a tweet or something. And I need to do that as well. So it was just emotional. Heyman was there because of his New York ties. JR was there because, as Vince said, we got to have JR out there, which I took as a compliment. So it was emotional. And we just had to focus on our business. You know, as a broadcaster, I said this a lot. It sounds arrogant, and I don't really care at this stage in my life if I'm arrogant or not. But if you put it on the monitor, I can call it. I really can. That's my gift. And that's kind of what I'm here to do. So that was in Houston. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that whole ordeal, sadness, the pall that came over all of us. And we had our crew, so many of our crew were based in the Northeast. So they had connections with the people that were in or loosely related to the two crashes. So anyway, it was tough. Little Jimmy Dickens there.
Well, I just turned 4 years old the week before, and that episode of SmackDown, I've gone back and rewatched hundreds of times just because that's one of my favorite podcasts ever called.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad you called in. Glad you ate your soup or whatever the hell you were eating.
Applesauce.
All right. Well, I like applesauce. I like a little cinnamon with my applesauce, Jimmy.
Oh, it is that cinnamon applesauce, actually, to be honest.
There you go. What kind of guy? Cinnamon applesauce.
Applesauce and whiskey for dinner. That's breakfast of champions right there.
The Duke
right.
Whiskey.
Thanks, well, Jimmy.
You're the best.
Moderation.
Yes, sir.
And one more personally, I wanted to know what that jersey was hanging up behind you, the red one with the picture in the middle.
Right there. That is John Wayne's red long handle underwear that he wore in several movies. And my late wife bought that for me and had it letterboxed and framed and all that stuff. There, up in the right above that kind of catty corner to it, some more John Wayne swag. The picture right above it is some of the guys from WCW on Family Feud. So, it's
super cool stuff.
I got some cool stuff. Let's just everybody come rob JR now that we know I got some cool shit here.
Well, JR, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We know you're a busy man, and we appreciate your time. And are we done? Yeah, we're done. Everybody's got their questions in.
Cool.
So we appreciate you, and we'll be watching you Saturday night, brother.
Well, I hope so. I'm enjoying being on Saturday night wrestling. Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness. We've got a nice little team we're building there, and I'm just having a time of my life working with those guys. Tony Khan's got me doing, you know, I've been doing the main events. I'd like to do more. Of course, that's what all of us old-timers, we want more. But I look forward to making our trips and doing these main events, and our ratings are starting to move in a positive direction. And that show's been, I think the show's been good. You know, Joe and Penta last week was excellent.
Great, man.
Super Joe was just extraordinary to me. I just think he's one of my favorite wrestlers and has been for a long time. And I thought the Darby Allin match on with Roddy Strong was absolutely a piece of art. How they worked on one body part, the spine of Darby. And Darby's one of my favorite talents. You know, Tony Khan's done a great job of giving these young guys an opportunity to grow and to live their dreams. And Darby's a great example of what I just said. So, and I didn't think he'd make it in the early going. I really didn't, because he's so small. And he allowed himself to get the shit beat out of him. and he just was so resilient. So I'm having fun, enjoying it. Hope you guys will. If you don't watch on Saturday night because it's your favorite football team's playing or something like that, I get it. But you can tape it, DVR the hell out of it, and go back and watch it later. So, but I appreciate the folks that are watching and enjoy. I enjoy doing it. I wish I wasn't missing all my football games, but you know, hey, I'm getting paid well, so
I am.
Well, JR, we appreciate it, brother. And everybody, go make sure you get that JR's barbecue sauce. Now's the time. I just clicked on the website and saw you guys had a deal going on over there for today. So make sure everybody goes and checks that out. And appreciate holiday it. Boxes are the time to get it right now, brother.
Yes, sir. I agree, buddy. I appreciate it. And hey, it's just a little family run business. We're trying to make it work. And there's a lot of frustrations with shipping. I like these guys that get their order 2 or 3 days later than they anticipated so they can go on Twitter and call me out. Ain't that the shits?
You know, because you're running the mail, right?
Yeah, I'm taking care of that. I'm handling the mail. God, I appreciate everybody's business, though. JRsBBQ.com and business has been good. Hey, it's always grilling season for you guys down there in Alabama.
Yeah, it is. It's home, perfect man. Right now.
That's right. That's right.
It's the best of sauce ever.
And make sure you use your real name. That's what we figured out today.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate y'all being a members of Ad Free Shows. Welcome, Paul Millett. Appreciate you jumping back with us, Paul, and being our special guest early today. Mr. JR, I'm Cassio. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys. Thanks.